Quick Quack Car Wash takes the drama out of keeping your car clean.
Let's wash the car.
Yay!
Don't spray the hose inside the car. Oh.
Our convenient wash packages make it easy to get your car soaked, scrubbed, and on your way. Protect your car from sun, rain, and pollen with a ceramic duct wash. And get our in-wash light show and an unbeatable clean.
Oh, the kids filled the gas tank with water.
Of course they did. Quick Quack Car Wash. Come in today and get 25% off any wash.
I've got this neighbor, Ned, who brags about having the best smart home. So, I showed him my Ecobee smart home. Turns out, Ecobee's a lot smarter, is easier to use, and saves money. Ecobee's the smartest choice I've ever made, except for my little Pomeranian.
Oh, yes. Oh, you are so cute. Aren't you my little pom-pom?
Sorry. So tell the Ned on your block about Ecobee. Just yell, "Get yourself a smarter home!" Visit Ecobee.com today.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
When the senses have...
And we are live coming in here at the Resistor Ranch. I, of course, am the best-selling author of The Girlless Guide to Baofeng Radio, which is a number one bestseller on Amazon.com. We're going to be talking about some of the knockoffs later on in this episode and some ways that this incredible audience has really done me a solid. And a lot of praise, whole lot of praise for this community. You know, I've bragged on this community over and over and over again. Longtime listeners know that and know, you know, my motivation for doing all this. I never got into any of this, you know, as a business originally, but it was to build a community. And my mission is literally that in every way that I can. But we're going to be talking about that later on in the episode. There's so much ground to cover tonight. But number one bestseller, The Girlless Guide to Baofeng Radio. And, of course, we will be remiss if we did not mention brushbeater.store. Brushbeater.store, you can head on over there. I have got a bunch of new products that are in stock. Some of y'all are picking some of these things up already. If you were on the email list for the hotly anticipated Zygu X6200. All right, the Zygu X6200. This is the hottest new radio on the market. QRP, low power radio, puts out 10 watts, removable internal battery. This thing is really, really incredible, and I think that it is a game changer. I got one of the pre-production models and made a couple of videos with it that are up on Twitter, X, rather. I keep making that mistake. But X.com, rather. And you can find those up on AmericanPartisan.org as well. I'll put those videos up. But the AGM Secutor also. Clip-on thermal, a 50mm objective lens, laser rangefinder built in. I think that this thing is a real game changer, especially for the guys running bolt guns with higher, larger objective lenses, higher magnification. That is really the design parameters that went into this thing. And I'm going to be doing a heck of a lot here soon. The training schedule is going to pick up Bigley. I literally have classes every weekend going into August, and that is picking up literally weekend after next with the night operating course that is going to be going on here at the G Camp. And really looking forward to that. There's a couple of spots left. We've got the RTO and advanced RTO coming up. There's only a few spots left in those courses as well. And we have Fighting Kalashnikov after that. So if you want to get in on that AK action, you know, that is definitely the class for you. You're going to want to get in on that. Same, really the same table of fire, same, you know, what you did in Fighting Carbine, you're going to be doing in Fighting Kalashnikov. It's just tailored to the AK specifically. But you can find all those details, the schedule, everything over at brushbeater.store. You know, check that out. Your patronage has really been incredible. Oh, and by the way, the AGM Wolf 14s, which are the hottest selling night vision that I have. A lot of people asking about entry level night vision and, you know, where to begin. And, you know, I have a lot of first time buyers. And I'm really honored by that because you trust me, and you know, I'm a trusted voice in this community, and I'm very honored by that. Very, very honored by that. And I have a deep level of respect for your trust. Those are coming back in stock. We had literally a run on them in the past 2 weeks. I had stacked them very deep, and we had a run on them. And that was before all the chaos of the weekend. So literally had a run on night vision, and we ended up selling out. That's okay. I have a whole lot more. I bought the existing U.S. supply of them to get them in stock, and they will be here this week. So, you know, if you, I know a lot of you out there are, you know, I answered dozens of emails today. It started last night. I try to stay abreast of this stuff, but and I understand your urgency. The best that I can tell you is sign up for the back in stock notifications to get that email. That's why I have that service. And when they come back in stock, you will be notified and they will be there. Okay. And that goes for all our products. That goes for everything that we have. But rapidly expanding things, medical kits from North American Rescue. I've talked about that. Very, very proud that we have the most respected name in trauma kits. You know, North American Rescue is the first and last word in trauma kits. That's the only one that I'm going to carry. That's the only one I'm going to recommend. And, you know, everybody who's ever trained with me, they've asked about IFACs. I say, you know, hey, if it doesn't say North American Rescue on it, you don't want it. And it's a long time coming, but we made it work, and here we are. And you know, I couldn't be more proud. But you can find all that again at brushbeater.store. All of it's over there, and you know, it's really nothing more needs to be said. So you know, obviously, coming off of the events of the Butler, Pennsylvania rally, the Trump rally. On, you know, my thoughts on that. We've seen a lot of takes. We've seen a lot of really shitty takes. I've seen a lot of, you know, wannabe executive protection experts. These are all the same people. They become weather experts one minute. They become ballistics experts the next. They become, you know, it's just, you name it. Whatever the thing is, the current thing is, there's subject matter expert on it. And, you know, lending their ear to things. And I find it cheaply entertaining, but simultaneously it makes you very angry. But for me, I understand that that's part and parcel of what you deal with social media. That's what you're going to get. Okay. That's the dumpster fire that is social media. And you know, I'm going to share my perspective on a number of things. You know, when I was getting stuff done today, you know, had the mainstream conservative incorporated apparatchik propaganda on in the background, because I am genuinely interested to hear what the narrative is being spun from that particular end of the MSM. And, you know, there's a lot of things I could say, but I'm going to refrain from doing so regarding that. But in a nutshell, the former president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, was shot on stage. You know that. Okay, you know that. But I'm telling you this to frame something of understanding, because there's been a lot of really, really crummy takes here. Former presidents, when they do public engagements, have a very high level of security. In fact, in the United States, aside from the president and the vice president, former presidents are all afforded the highest level of security when they do public engagements. This is known. It's standard practice. You can look this up. I mean, we're not throwing out a longstanding tradition of Secret Service and their protection practices to simply just say that, you know, oh, well, he's a former president, so he doesn't get the same level. No, that's not correct to say that. Also, a failure of security, which is exactly what this is, lays completely at the feet of the security team. An attack on the principal, which is your objective of, you know, your security element for all the security detail guys and the people that are trained in close protection details. You know, an attack on your principal is a failure. Now, when you go to a place, a public outing, you have the pre-site or the pre-event site survey that you go and you do, essentially a leader's recon that the leadership of that detail is going to do with the team leaders of each element. So you have the counter sniper element, you have the ground element, you have the medical evacuation trauma team element to it. Each one of those leaders are going to get physical eyes on of everything that, you know, so that they can make an assessment to best do their jobs. Now, I'm breaking this down for the laity. There's more pieces to this, but I'm keeping it simple. So I have been subject to some very, very shitty takes on this and some wildly entertaining in all the wrong ways takes on this entire incident. There are plenty of videos of failures, and I'm not going to lecture you or bore you to death on those. You know, we have girl boss Secret Service agents who are unfit for the job, period. End of story. Unfit for the job. This isn't up for debate. When you have Secret Service agents that are cowering behind their principal, they're not diving on top of the president. They did not do that. There's photos of this. They're not fit to be there. They're not fit to be there, period. End of discussion. So with that said, you know, we have videos of the counter sniper element, which I'm still not clear on whether that was local level law enforcement or state level law enforcement, but it was not Secret Service. Those were not Secret Service agents. That counter sniper, the very famous video of this, if you haven't seen this, I'll break it down. Shots were fired and his muzzle lowers and he readjusts his position. He jumped, and I'm not faulting this guy at all, because it did look like he got a round off in response. However, it's very likely that he has never been in a real situation like this. Very, very likely. And he was placed in a situation which he was not prepared. Now, again, I don't think that that's his fault. It is partly a training failure. It's completely a training failure. And it's a leadership failure. And I can point fingers at a lot of different things with that said, and I'm going to refrain from doing so. I'm just going to chalk that up to it. It was a showing of poor training, period. The other marksman who is on top of the building, a lot of people have made much of that. What they don't understand is that those two marksmen were co-located, but they had different targets that they were observing. So when you map out an area, you create what's known as a grid reference graphic, or GRG, and of those you create target reference points. And a skilled sniper, all of us are taught to do this, you're going to point to, on the map, you're going to shoot an azimuth to each target of interest, where those vantage points are going to be. So the whole adage of how would I kill me is in play here. And so you say, okay, if I am a average marksman, we'll say, because we break down snipers into three categories, or you have an untrained guy with a rifle who, may get lucky, may not. And that's what this Thomas Matthew Crooks guy, he's an untrained dude with a rifle. All right, so that's your category one. Your category two is actually your most dangerous. He's a guy who actually does have a level of marksmanship training. And he doesn't have training on sight selection and understanding how to dope wind, and that's out kind of outside of his forte, but he has a high degree of training, usually a very competent level of training with his weapon. And so how I best explained this once upon a time, when I instructed the Army's version of the combat hunter course, was this is your average infantryman. So every one of your average infantrymen who, let's say, has spent 18 months in a line infantry unit, where he's went to the range, he's qualified, and he's done a little bit more with his rifle than your average soldier is going to do, that's going to be your category two marksman. And I haven't seen any indication that this Thomas Crooks kid was anything of the sort. Your level three is actually a trained sniper, and this is someone who is trained in the field craft of sniper work as well as the ballistics, and those two are very important. A lot of times in the civilian world, we focus very heavy on ballistics, data on previous engagement, ballistic coefficients, all this stuff, right? But the trade craft behind it, the actual sniper craft of position selection, and target selection, and all that stuff, that is actually the most important aspect of sniper craft. But With that said, you have to have that training in order to be an effective counter sniper as well. And so when you are plotting out your grid reference graphic or your GRG, you're looking at all of those vantage points where someone could plausibly get a shot off, right? And your job in turn is to, you know, as a sniper leader, so that sniper section leader, whoever that element leader is going to turn around and report that data to the overall, you know, what we would call a ground force commander, or, you know, in this case, a special agent in charge. You know, this is established doctrine. This is not, you know, this isn't some new thing that we just made up yesterday. You know, we have been doing this for a very long period of time, and we have a lot of people who are really well trained in it, even in line units, you know, even in your line battalions, that aren't particularly elite. You have guys who are very well trained in doing this for commanders of battalions, for brigades, for general staff officers, you know, all the way up the chain, right? It's standardized practice. This isn't new things. So with that said, I don't lay any blame on the marksmanship element, the precision marksmanship element, or the SNOT element, sniper observer team elements, because they did their job after the fact, though, after rounds were fired. This is more a failure. So they, you know, again, I want to be very, very clear here. They executed their job and did it well. Did it a little too late, but they did it well. This is more a failure of the Rovers on the ground. So the SNOT element, the sniper observer team element, you're always going to have them, the counter sniper teams, you know, whatever sexy name you want to come up with it, your marksmanship element, though. That's one part of it. Then you have your static site security, which you have an inner circle and you have an outer circle. You will have people placed in the crowd who are plainclothes. Usually they have a less visibility aspect to them. And then you have your outer cordon people who are normally static, and they are going to be in one place, and these are normally your junior most guys on the team. Their job is to close off any points of entry or points of exit to make sure that if a would-be assailant is going to get in there, that they're going to be able to interdict them. And so with your communications protocols and all of that, the way that you hand those targets off is it basically becomes a collapsing spider web at that point of your guys on the inner cordon and then the guys on the outer cordon that are covering the exits, the points of entry, right? But what you also do is you cover any other points of access that might give a vantage point to a would-be assailant. And that includes ladders that are placed on the side of a building, which this one absolutely was. Now, I had somebody earlier today who was claiming that he was part of some PSD sniper team or something, and it was just made up bullshit too. And of course, Stan, you know, they always throw out the, I protected this guy from the State Department and the CIA and all the, yeah, okay, you know, because that's fake and gay. They all have their own security details that they know and they trust, and there's people.
I've got this neighbor, Ned, who brags about having the best smart home. So I showed him my Ecobee smart home. Turns out Ecobee's a lot smarter, is easier to use, and saves money. Ecobee's the smartest choice I've ever made, except for my little Pomeranian.
Oh, yes. Oh, you are so cute. Aren't you my little pom-pom?
Sorry. So tell the Ned on your block about Ecobee. Just yell, get yourself a smarter home. Visit ecobee.com today.
people that have longevity that are assigned to those details. All right. And I know people that work these details. So don't give me that. We're not playing that game today, buddy. You know. But the thing is that when you have all these elements working in concert with one another, and then you incorporate local law enforcement into it, local law enforcement's role is typically the responder's role to supplement manpower of the outer cordon. So your outer rings of security, they are going to supplement that manpower. And one of the things that they do, typically your local law enforcement will be in uniform, and they will have patrol cars that are going to be parked at the major intersections out there for a few miles out. Okay, not hundreds of feet away, but several miles out. And they will have their lights on. And that what that is there to do is to create an illusion that we have such robust security here that you shouldn't even attempt to do anything stupid, right? That's the whole point behind that. It is a show of force to say we have our superiority here in numbers. Don't even try anything stupid, you know? So this awesome retard that was claiming he was all the things, he's Jason Bourne, right? Scratching my chin here because these things really they entertain me in all the wrong ways. So you can't see me right now, but I have a very sadistic grin on my face because I love making fun of idiots. This guy was saying, well, that was outside of their ability to do anything. Oh, it was? Well, that's interesting because it's being reported by all the news outlets now, because everybody's shuffling blame around on this thing, that there was a team that was in that building, that was assigned to that building, and they were told it was too hot to be up there, so they were just gonna be on the ground. Mm-hmm. So you mean to tell me that, and of course this guy was, also a constitutional law expert, because he was like, Fourth Amendment says, exigent circumstances clause goes right along with HVIs and executive protection with former presidents. This is not really something you want to debate with me. Go ahead and have that debate with somebody. You know, and of course, then the guy throws up a picture of, some SUV somewhere with a rifle that had Vortex on it. It's like, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, not calling complete bullshit, but I don't think so. Anyway, enough said about that. The point is that this was a colossal failure. And you mean to tell me that a 20-year-old kid was able to outsmart the Secret Service, outsmart every law enforcement in both the inner and outer cordon, their diameters of areas of responsibility, and just magically get into the one place that they already, in their pre-site survey, their leader's recon had already identified as a place of high priority. He just magically knew how to get up there. Played a lot of Call of Duty, didn't he? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I am saying it's unlikely. I have a lot of questions that we don't have comfortable answers to. Now, I want to turn your attention to a video that I put up earlier today of a woman that was in the crowd behind Donald Trump. So I put this up and I said, well, that's awful strange behavior. because it was. And of course, you get a lot of people who they don't know shit from the skin on their ass. And so they want to chime in, you know, and everybody's so quick to say, you know, oh, I know. No, you do not. Part of my career entailed physical surveillance of people. Okay. Physical surveillance of people to identify threat indicators. And once those identified threat indicators manifested themselves and I got clearance from higher, then I shot them. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And I'm not telling you that to thump my chest. This is not something I'm proud of at all. Now, I went overseas and I did my duty. However, I'm telling you that for the relevance here. I know a threat when I see one. And what a lot of people dialed in that video was the fact that this woman pulled out her phone. That's because you people who dialed in on that don't know shit from anything. You don't know shit from the skin on your ass. So let me break this down for you. When we're observing a crowd of people, for example, you are utilizing what we call heuristics, right? And those heuristics create the baseline. What is normal for an area and then what is not so normal. And so the term that we use for this to break this down is we are looking for the strange in the familiar, okay? The strange in the familiar. Remember this, all right? This is surveillance 101. We're looking for the pocket lint because people can act otherwise normal. If you're not trained to see it and you don't see it, you wouldn't think anything of it. But once upon a time, I trained people to stay left of bank. Professionally. And so that's what I'm breaking down for you now. This woman behind Trump at first was happy and, you know, she's totally part of the crowd, right? She has a sign up. She's totally part of the crowd. Then she checks her phone. Her body language changes. The body language shift is what we call a pre-action indicator. She shifted from happy, I'm blending in with the baseline, I'm all part of this, to now looking in the direction. Immediately after she looks at the phone, she immediately is looking in the direction shots came from. There are no shots yet. This is several seconds, about 15 seconds before the shot. She then holds up her sign over her face. Now, we can't see what she's doing during that time, but she lowers the sign and then is looking around very nervously because these activities are on a time hack. Okay, when you create an operations order for a mission that you're going to carry out, everything is assigned a timeline to it. And everything has a timeline assigned to it. And if especially when you are coordinating activities, this is one of those, things. How would I kill me? This is one of those things that you need to understand and learn to recognize. She begins to look around frantically. Her entire body language and her deportment is completely different. The facial expressions are completely different. And then when the shots ring out and several people, and she was in that impact area, by the way, it would have been just to her left. Everybody else flinches. She pulls out her phone. That's the thing that everybody dialed in on. All the naysayers, all the, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. No, everybody does that. This is what we call eating the popcorn. Okay. Unfortunately, the reality in the United States in 2024 is that when a traumatic event happens like that, we pull out our phones and start recording it instead of rendering aid. I mean, I'm laughing because this is one of the most morbid things that we do. And so I get all that. completely understand it, but the professional term for this that we used to use is eating the popcorn. These people have never seen violence, like that level of violence, visceral violence. They've never seen that. And so to them, this is something you just see on TV or in a movie. What the hell is this? This is crazy. This is wild. And I want to be the first one to share it to TikTok. Right? She pulled out that phone so that she could be the first person to take a picture of the target. That's why she did that. I suspect. Let me be clear here. I suspect. And there were several people who sent in some interesting emails along with that earlier today who... I'm just going to leave it as they were comparing images to some very interesting individuals. And these are coming from high-level people, by the way. They're well-placed in their lines of work. So it is interesting. It is interesting. Now, I'm not saying, to be clear, I'm not saying it was any part of it. But what I will say is that this kid, if you believe that this kid, this 20-year-old kid, just magically knew exactly where to get on the roof, and he just magically knew exactly where to be, and all these other people, that just magically saw him, pointed him out for a while. I think it's really interesting that both the BBC and Sky News had really good coverage of this. Better than their American counterparts, for sure. Boy, that's something. I just think that's something. I smell bullshit. Then, of course, for the FBI to swoop in. The FBI, of course, is known to us. They always say that. They swoop up his cell phone, of course. The mop-up operation has to happen. We're going to try and find his motive. Right? We're going to try and find his motive. You knew his motive. You knew his motive. You knew his social media habits. You knew his phone number. You know who he's been talking to. You have a whole facility out in Utah scraping all this data. But this is the one kid. This is the one kid that you didn't do any of that to. And, of course, you can't get into his phone, right? Can't get into his phone, which that's bullshit also. Of course you can get into his phone. Of course you can get into his phone. Folks, I'm telling you, you can't believe what they're telling you. You can't believe what they're telling you, especially on a day. Oh, and then they magically got into it. They amended their story later. They magically got into it. So, see, there you go. Because that was, and I contend that that was because there was enough people who actually do know what they're talking about. Myself included in a very limited role, but guys who are shit hot on this in the private sector, who may or may not have done it in the public sector previously, who were calling bullshit on it, who were throwing the bullshit flag. And I think that the decision was made by their higher-ups to say, we might want to take the L on this one and just say, yeah, you know, we did get into it. Yeah, of course you did. Of course you did. You were into it before you took the shot. Because they have a back door into all your stuff. Now, there are ways to protect yourself. This kid didn't know what that was. Not at 20 years old, he didn't. And for them to say he had no social media presence, that's a lie, too. That's a lie, too. There's a bunch of stuff surfacing on this kid. Of course, the left wasted absolutely no time on this. President Biden wasted absolutely no time on this as well. And I contend that the only reason that he tried to make this unifying statement that he made in his presser, and then, of course, his 50 interns in an office that come up with his tweets. I think that the only reason that they even attempted to have any sort of empathy or magnanimity whatsoever was because their internal polling is so bad on this. It is so bad. They know that this is setting them up for an epic level of shellacking with traditional Americans. I want to be very clear about that, with traditional Americans. Now, the people they're importing, they don't give a shit because this happens every day. South America, Central America, they assassinate political candidates all the time. That's just what they do. Okay. This is normal behavior for them. They're inoculated to it. They don't care. So, but the legacy Americans, this is we haven't seen anything on this tier since Ronald Reagan and John Hinckley Jr. And it's also an epic failure for all their agencies. Now, I want to point out one other thing. And this is non-political when I make this statement. This is an incredibly important failure for the United States abroad when dignitaries go overseas. This has actually put everybody in a much higher level of danger. Because if you don't think that people who want to do our people harm overseas haven't been watching this with a very keen eye and saying, wow, they almost just, this 20-year-old, untrained, nothing, nobody, almost killed, came within a few millimeters of killing the former president of the United States. And the best that they had was Cagney Lacey and Melissa McCarthy out there on the job. You have got to be fucking kidding me. And you don't think that every bad guy abroad is looking at that and saying, well, no. If we wanted to take a shot, there you go. Because they absolutely are. That's a very scary thing, folks. That is a very, very scary thing. It's an indicator of the hubris. The hubris in Washington, D.C., the thing that I've talked about, railed against over and over and over again, is exactly what this is. It is their hubris, and it is on display, and there is no changes in sight. Secret Service commander, the Secret Service agent in charge, whatever, Grand Poobah, whatever they call her, she ain't resigning. She's not resigning. She didn't take any responsibility whatsoever. They're just shuffling the blame. This is what they do. This is what Washington, D.C. does. Her previous job was at Pepsi. She was head of security at Pepsi. She's very good friends with the Bidens, by the way. So, again, this is what we know. These are the things that we know. They're set in stone. They are out there. Of course, this incident is going to be studied. The media is going to try and desperately memory hole it. And the left wing in this country wasted absolutely no time, even though the sitting president said, I need to tone down. They waste absolutely no time, dude. They have celebrities like Jack Black getting out there, celebrating this and saying, don't miss next time. Well, Jack, that's a $1.5 billion question. $1.5 billion statement. I wonder if Tenacious D's made that much money. You and old Kyle. Because those are the rules. I didn't make the rules. I just have to live by them. Guess what? You do too. There's a whole lot of money out there. Whole lot of money floating around out there. That fire chief, the guy killed, his widow, she can sue all of you. $1.5 billion. That's the standard. That's the standard. You did it to Alex Jones. We're going to turn around. We're going to do it to you. $1.5 billion with a B. $1.5 billion. So I'm going to get off of that. Just a thought. And this Jack Smith trial, so the phony classified documents trial has been dropped. It has been determined that Jack Smith's very existence and his investigation is bullshit, as we've been saying all along, and that he has no real function nor power inside of the government. He's not in anything. And, you know, many legal experts have been claiming this for a long period of time. So that trial has been dismissed. Militant left wasted absolutely no time. They're not toning down the rhetoric at all, and these people are careening quite literally towards a civil conflict. They're cheering it on. They're not quite sure what they're asking for. Okay? Not sure what they're asking for. They think they know. They think they know. That is what it is. That is what it is. But I want to point that out. That's going to be one thing to watch going forward. Now, last segment of the show, getting into the final 15 minutes, I want to talk about J.D. Vance, the vice president selection. And, of course, that was announced today going into the Republican National Convention. Vance is not somebody who, Senator Vance, current sitting senator from Ohio. Vance is not somebody that I originally was very keen on. He did not strike me, despite being a Marine and despite, obviously serving his nation and going overseas. I admire that, obviously. But he did not strike me as, and never really has, as someone who is really on board with the program. Now, you can label that program, whatever you like. The Make America Great Again agenda, the America First agenda. Now, he wasn't really somebody, and admittedly, he's somebody I didn't really know a whole lot about. It seemed like to me a lot of the rhinos were kind of talking him up, and then they backed away from him for a bit. You didn't really hear about him. And so I wasn't too keen on him. And when his announcement was made today, I have to admit that I was strongly disappointed at first. I was strongly disappointed. However, I want to shed some light on this, and this is going to be a take that on this that I don't think that you're going to hear anywhere else. So longtime listeners know that I didn't grow up wealthy, and I did not grow up in a wealthy area. And everybody who's trained with me, knows that. There's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of all the issues that go along with poverty. There's a lot of substance abuse. There's, drug addiction. All the issues that go along with that. And I grew up with all that. I grew up seeing all of it. I grew up with the crack epidemic giving way to the meth epidemic, giving way to the heroin epidemic and the, opioids and pills, and it followed a cycle. I grew up around all the mills going away. The labor being outsourced and seeing that firsthand, seeing the social destruction around that firsthand. And in the, throughout the 1990s, seeing a lot of the union labor pamphlets that were being brought home that were all America First. These were all America First. A lot of people that did not grow up around that really don't comprehend this, that the Donald Trump agenda, the America First agenda, Make America Great Again agenda is built around his previous experiences with the Reform Party and Patrick J. Buchanan. Pat Buchanan, if you look back, you turn the clock back to 1995, 1996, going into that electoral cycle, 1994 and then 1996. Those electoral cycles, 1994 with the midterms, and then 1996 with the presidential election that led into the second term of William Clinton. you know, this was the height of NAFTA, and a lot of people in the labor communities, you know, your labor unions and your blue collar communities, and, you know, a lot of people in the Rust Belt, the industrial belt. This is where J.D. Vance grew up. This is the environment in which he grew up. These are the social conditions in which he grew up that he was at the mercy of. A lot like Mark Robinson. You know, I've spoke very, very highly of Mark Robinson for those same reasons. You know, myself, growing up seeing people lose their lives over it. Not just their livelihoods, not just their families, but lose their lives. Seeing the violent crime, seeing everything that goes along with it, and I know the root causes. You know? And so this guy came up in all that. And so when you have people like Richard Trumka, the head of the Teamsters, praising J.D. Vance, that's really powerful. I regret personally that I didn't know more about this guy previously. I didn't know that much about him. And I was very quick to pass judgment because I'm not a big fan of Republicans and totes. I look at the Republican Party as the Romneys and the Lindsey Grahams, the John McCain types, the people who have looked down on people like me and have said, you know, I'm little more than a commodity to these people, because I am. And you are too. And of course, you know, we say it's being resentful or whatever. Yeah, I do resent that, because I'm not a product. I'm a man. I'm not a product. I'm a man. And I'm a man who served my country. I'm a man who serves my community. I'm a man who is a voice. And it's the same as you, by the way. It's the same as all of you. I have certain qualifications, things that I bring to the table. And all I want to do is share that with you to build you up. But you have those skills that you bring to the table as well that are every bit as important, if not more, than mine. And so in taking all of that, Donald Trump, who was a central figure in the Reform Party in the mid-1990s, and having this interesting relationship with Pat Buchanan, who was making all of these points, by the way, back then, and predicted the decline of America due to a lack of America First policies. He predicted a whole lot. Of course, he's retired now. He's retreated from the public eye, but I'm sure that the whispers are there in the background. And a guy like J.D. Vance, the more that I see him, you know, you judge a man by his enemies. How good are his enemies? Because the story is no good if it's all hero and it's no bad guy. If it was all Captain Kirk and a bunch of, you know, the Klingons weren't badass or Khan wasn't badass, you wouldn't care. That doesn't matter. You know, it's okay. What defines the hero of a story? The bad guy, the villain. And so you judge a man. I judge a man by who his enemies are. That's how I judge myself. Who's my enemies? The reason that people are your enemies is because they fear you. They fear you because the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. If people are indifferent to you, then you made no impact whatsoever. But hate is an emotion just as strong as love. And not everybody's going to love you in life. A lot of people are going to hate you. And you know what? If you're doing what you're supposed to do, people are going to hate you for it. Some are. A lot of people are going to love you. Hopefully more people love you than hate you. Right? But some people are going to hate you. If you get into this stuff, you get into the public eye thinking that everybody's going to love you and everybody's going to line up. They're just going to love your, you know, whatever it is you do. You know, hey, I got a news for you. But you got to be ready to swing back, and you got to be ready to swing back hard. So, and I always do. I don't admire a man who never hits back. I mean, how can you respect that? How can you respect a man who doesn't hit back? Well, I mean, really? You're just going to let them do that? Ha. You gotta stand up for yourself. And so with that said, at first, the name Vance was a disappointment to me. I admit I am wrong. I was wrong for that. I was wrong for that initial emotion. And the more I dig into this guy, people like Mitt Romney absolutely hate him. Good. I judge him by his enemies. Mitt Romney's my enemy. If they hate him, it means they fear him. They need to. Folks, it's a political war that we're in. And this is a real one. There are now casualties. I fear very strongly that there will be more. Democrat convention's coming up. That's the one that I think is going to have real fireworks. I hope not. I pray not. I pray for peace every night. But I prepare for war. And you should too. Those are the times that we're living in. They just tried to assassinate the president, former president of the United States, future president of the United States. And whether it was a colossal series of failures of oversight, which it may very well could have been, or there is a conspiracy, we're not going to know. They're not going to tell us. I don't trust them either way. That's why you need to get yourself prepared in every way, shape, and form. With that said, you need to be well supplied. You need to take care of yourself, take care of your body. Get out there, get some exercise. You know, yeah, I know it's hot. It's 105 degrees here today. I know it's hot. Okay, it's late at night. It's still 91. Thermometer is still saying it's 91 degrees. Hey, you know, get out there, get after it. You know, it's all part of it. The endurance of hardship makes us hard. Iron sharpens iron. Folks, you know, again, I don't know really how else to put it, but get yourselves prepared. Get yourself better tomorrow than you were today. Pick up skills, start learning, get that equipment. Brushbeater.store, get you squared away. With that said, folks, keep your head on a swivel. Don't be a bump on the log. Quit eating the popcorn. Be aware of your surroundings. Oh, and I almost forgot. So I said in the beginning of the episode that we were going to leave on a good note. Right. And something that really makes me smile from ear to ear that I'm really excited to tell you. So Operation Scamazon. So, you know, we know that there's all those knockoff copies of my book. Right. That's a lot of people have told me, you know, that's how you know you made it, quote unquote. Well, yeah. But seeing your work blatantly plagiarized and you getting ripped off, and I mean you out there, not me. I mean, yeah, they're ripping me off, but I'm really more pissed because they're ripping you off. So with that said, we started a little thing, and this is something that I was kind of joking around about at first, last couple of episodes of Sons of Liberty live show, saying, hey, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we bought a whole bunch of copies of the knockoffs and sent them back to Amazon? Then they have to eat the cost. They have to eat the printing cost. They have to eat the royalty cost they pay whoever the fraudulent author is. They had to eat the shipping costs both ways. Ugh. Quickly makes the whole thing very unprofitable. And they will drop these knockoffs like it's hot because they cannot sell the book. The dreaded frequently returned item label gets assigned to a product and they drop it. Poof, it goes gone. So I want to say this. This is a little slice of victory, folks. the worst offender of the knockoffs. ChatGPT wrote this thing. It ripped my book off 6 ways from Sunday. I mean, it was awful. I made a video about it. Y'all, you magnificent, wonderful people out there, you merry band of miscreants, you incredibly wonderful, beautiful lot, you people ran that book right off Amazon. It's gone. Poof, it disappeared. Gone. And I couldn't be more proud. Could not be more proud of this community. So a big thank you from my heart to yours. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you for your patronage. And last little bit, I know some of you are a little frustrated with the microphone situation. Hey, that is what it is. You know, whenever you are shuffling things around, we're in the middle of building a studio, and I'm literally juggling chainsaws right now. So this is the best we've got. Y'all have bared with me through it. Thank you for it. And again, keep that head on a swivel. Stay active. Get out there and get better than you were today, tomorrow. God bless. Talk to you again very, very soon. Sensei Scout.